Good morning. Welcome to the roundtable and to our panel discussion this morning. Very nice to have you with us. Let me introduce the panel and then let you know how you can be a part of our program. It's very, very simple, and I will tell you in just moments. Joining us for the discussion, WAMC's Alan Chartok. Good morning, Alan.
Good morning. I get on the bike every morning, and for the last 2 days, I've watched the Jackie Robinson, Ken Burns production.
Yes.
Unbelievably good. You just want to weep sometime all of a sudden. Faces of Barack Obama and Michelle Obama show up, and it's totally unexpected, and you just think of what Jackie Robinson did for so many people.
Rosemary Armeo is University of Albany journalism professor.
Hello. I have nothing so inspirational.
No preamble?
No. You want a preamble? No. Anything you watched on television? Anything? Good morning. Very nice to have you here.
I'm addicted to Netflix at the moment. I'm in the past.
Yeah. And Ira Fussfeld is with us as well. Daily Freeman publisher emeritus. Good morning.
Good morning. Very nice to be back after a long absence. And I would suggest, because I haven't been here in a couple of months, that we extend the panel about an hour, because I have a lot of venting to catch up on. Actually, I've listened to a couple of the panels while I was in California.
Really?
And yes, which meant getting up at 6 o'clock, but the grandson would enable that to happen. And there were times when I would start yelling at the app because Alan was making a point, or one of the writers was making a point that I didn't agree with. But fortunately, Rosemary or Mike or Libby would normally and very articulately denounce the original comment much better than I could have. So,
wow, that was an opening shot.
That was my preamble.
Alan, that was a preamble.
I haven't watched Jackie Robinson.
Wow. It wasn't Jackie Robinson.
No, I'm looking forward to watching it. I have it recorded.
All right, if that's the way you're going to be.
Stay tuned.
All right, here
it's
we go.
It's been 2 months.
roundtable at WAMC.org if you'd like to get in on what we're talking about here. Roundtable at WAMC.org. We'd love to have you aboard. Okay, so let's start out with let's start out with the Zika virus, if we can. Story from Washington yesterday saying that the Zika virus causes birth defects, according to health officials. I found the story interesting because I thought we knew this, but I guess it's definitive now from the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. Officials there said on Wednesday that there was now enough evidence to definitively say that the Zika virus could cause unusually small heads and brain damage in infants born to infected mothers. The conclusion should settle months of debate about the connection between the infection and these birth defects, as well as other neurological abnormalities, according to the officials of the Centers for Disease Control in Atlanta.
They've also linked it to some serious side effects in older people, too. It isn't just pregnant women, although those are horrible consequences for them. But also older people can get a paralysis disease from it. It's a terrible, terrible kind of illness borne by mosquitoes.
The doctor for the CDC director said, never before in history has there been a situation where a bite from a mosquito can result in a devastating malformation.
Right. I'm traveling next month to West Africa, and I've decided maybe I really will take the malaria preventatives because I'm afraid of mosquitoes now. And it's Zika that's inspired and not really malaria.
It just boggles the mind after, you know, I've been around this world for, nearly mm-hmm. 70 years, and all of these various things pop up over time. And, you know, where did this thing come from? Mm-hmm. You know, how do you prevent it? How do you stop it? It just sort of emerges. Did it always exist? There's nothing really brilliant that I don't think any of us can say about it other than it's horrible. And hopefully we'll get to the bottom of it sooner than later.
The CDC felt compelled, according to their official surveys, have told us that a lot of people aren't concerned about Zika virus infection in the United States. They don't know a lot about it. Now that we can be more convincing that Zika does cause these malformations, we hope that people will focus on our prevention messages more closely.
Right.
And prevention being?
Don't go there.
Oh, don't go there, right.
Right.
But they're saying southern states, too.
Yes.
So then Puerto Rico.
That's right.
I was just looking for one more.
Especially if you're pregnant. Stay in the house. Oh, it sounds like the old days. Well, don't show yourself. Get in the house.
Remember, we all
up.
Got scared a few years ago about West Nile virus
yes.
From a mosquito bite. Now, that has not gone away, but I don't hear it as often described. And I don't think that's because they found a cure for it.
I think that's it's a great point, Ira. Like, so what do you do? Now that with that information, what do you do?
Well, it's interesting to me because each time it looks like this could be the apocalypse. When it proves not to be the apocalypse, we let it go. Mm-hmm. This one, to me, looks very dangerous. Very dangerous. And it could be the wipeout thing. I mean, that's what I worry about because it can be transmitted. It can come from visitors who go to other places. And it is very, very scary.
And if any of the four of us were somehow underwritten tomorrow by WAMC to go down to Rio and cover the Olympics, would we go? Which is ground zero for this virus,
I have
supposedly.
Been to Brazil and Rio, and I do yeah. not like it. I would not go.
No, and there was a story on...
Cheap.
Yeah, well...
It's cheap, did you
yeah,
say?
Yeah, food because, down there you get.
Oh.
Rio?
Yeah. Oh, my God, it was so expensive. The food, the taxi rides.
I think it may be cheaper now.
yeah, well, they Zika.
Well, even the... they were talking about the Olympic tickets. Yeah, yeah. The Olympic tickets are about a quarter of what they would normally be, and
wow.
the sales are tanking. International sales are tanking, and as well as the local sales.
I just somehow picture the NBC announcers, and they now here's Matt Lauer from Today Show, and he comes on wearing one of those bee hats, you know,
or a mask,
or whatever Bob Costas yeah. were the last time when he had pink eye. it's something. I don't know. Hopefully, we'll be able to keep him safe.
Well, as Rosanna Dedden used to say, it's always something. If it's not one thing, it's something. It's the other, or something like that. Yeah.
Let's take a break. When we come back, we'll go on to other issues. We welcome your comments. Roundtable at WAMC.org. Roundtable at WAMC.org. We'll be back right after this short break. Good morning. Welcome back to the Roundtable and to our discussion this morning. Very nice to have you with us. A reminder, you can join in on the conversation. Roundtable at WAMC.org. Roundtable at WAMC.org. So the big question seems to be, what did Megyn Kelly and Donald Trump talk about? Okay, so that's the gossipy way of approaching this story. The journalistic way is if you are a reporter who has been given having a tough time with a candidate who is making very personal remarks about you and to you, and then you call for a meeting and then that candidate meets with you, that is quite extraordinary, is it not?
Extraordinary how?
Well, when does that happen? Like, when have you ever heard of say Tom Brokaw ticking off Walter Mondale and then them having a summit?
Well, we don't know if any of that kind of thing has happened. What I think is extraordinary about it is that Megyn Kelly, in my view, had the high ground here. She had stuck to her principles. She had been the victim of Trump's attacks on several occasions, if not more than several, and she went to him. By all accounts. And I would have said to him, I wouldn't have said anything to him other than, you want to come on my program and you want to make nice after all this time? Here's my address. I'll see you at 9 o'clock tomorrow morning. I would not have gone over to
That's
see
easy
him.
For you to say, Ira.
It is. I just said
I mean,
it.
Right. It's easy for you to say. I mean, but in fact, there is a sort of mutuality of interest here, which is that she needs him because he could end up as the candidate or he could end up as the president, and you don't mess around with that. And the New York Post, as you know, and Fox are all in one, and you know, it makes sense for me that they reached out. And from his point of view, as you guys pointed out on this week's Media Project, they need he needs them now as the official spokesman for the conservative side.
Yeah, I think it's a mutuality of interest, and the comparison you made is not exactly apt, Joe. This is more like a beat reporter who has a feud with someone who's an important and continuing news source. It's not like she can't do her job well with him refusing to speak to her. So to go, and she put it this way. She goes, we had a chance to clear the air. I'm sure that's how she framed it. Let's go. We have to get past this, Mr. Trump. But what remains to be seen is what deals were struck. Is he going to come talk on her show? And if so, what did she have to do to get that?
Now, correct me if I am wrong, but my memory seems to tell me that days, weeks, months after the original debate where she was the moderator, mm-hmm. and the comments were made that insulted Mr. Trump. Then there were two meetings prior to that, one with Megyn Kelly and another one with the head of Fox. So there have been other overtures that have fallen by the wayside, correct?
I'm not aware of her having any discussions with Megyn Kelly. He certainly has had some with Roger Ailes. I think that the only thing that makes this, the only reason that Kelly needs him more so than during the normal course of events is that she is going to be doing a primetime special on the Fox Network, not on Fox News Channel, on the Fox Network. And by her own admission, she's thinking about leaving Fox News. That may just be a contract ploy, but she said that in an interview. And she also said she sort of would like to do a program that was a combination of Oprah and Charlie Rose. I think she fancies herself, perhaps with justification, as the next Barbara Walters, who used to do these primetime specials all the time, all of which leads to say she can get Trump to agree to go on that program, her ratings will go through the roof, and it will give her a big head start on getting that goal made.
But she has to do it without any hold on her to what she should
without
ask.
Giving in.
Yeah, does he have to approve the questions, or they have to be submitted first in writing? All of that would hurt her journalistically.
Because she can't really do anything about what he dislikes most about her, which apparently is that she's female.
Right.
Well, yeah, I mean, it would be a radical step for her to take, yes, to do anything about that.
Well, as I said, I think she has held the high ground here, and she has, unlike some of her nighttime colleagues on Fox News Channel, seems to be a legitimate journalist who's willing to take on people from both sides. And so if she compromises that, she might gain on the ratings short term, but she certainly will hurt her reputation.
Yeah, that's well put.
Are you weighing in, Alan?
Not much. you know, I think these two very good people have handled it extraordinarily well.
You're resting today.
No, I'm just thinking about things. You know, I'm thinking about things. I'm here thinking good thoughts.
That was an old Bobby Darin song, Things.
Thinking about things.
Yes. Do you want me to
say something? I'll always say something if you want me to. Joe.
No, I was just wanted to check before we move on. If
you want to make sure it wasn't Weekend at Bernie's.
That's very nice, Ira. And as you know, the old Freudian, the old Freudian saying, which is the fear is the wish.
Nah.
So, how about some letters, sir?
Okay, we got a lot on Zika. Brooke says, you cannot talk about Zika without talking about the reproductive health implications for women and their families. They're saying that Zika will be in 30 states this summer. How will low-income women and immigrants access abortion care in our southern states in the face of this public health crisis? Telling women to avoid pregnancy in states that restrict birth control and Medicare is inhuman. And don't forget that Zika is also sexually transmitted.
Good letter.
Yeah. Wendy says, counter to the conservative dogma that government is always a problem and inferior to the private sector in providing goods and services, I trust the CDC and public health services to do more than protect us from infectious diseases than for profit enterprises. And that's from Rick. Margaret says, good morning, all. Zika prevention equals efforts to curb the mosquito population, including eliminating areas of standing water, treating ponding water with larvicides and releasing sterile male mosquitoes. Substantial tax dollars will be needed, and the government needs popular support and cooperation in these efforts. And then Brian says, good morning, panel. Joe, if you were wrong time, Go-Kart is a journalist. Megyn Kelly is a commentator. Big difference. You know, I have fought this out with an awful lot of people over the years.
Sarah LaDuke, our producer, said, by the way, wrong time, Go-Kart is a great band name.
Oh, I see.
I think it's autocorrect, but still, yeah, wrong time, Go-Kart sounds great.
Yeah, check it over before you hit send, gang, because the genie may have changed your words without you realizing. I've done it myself. So Jack says, I think that you guys are overreacting to the Zika threat. While it is undoubtedly devastating to pregnant women, it's not a general health danger to everyone else. By the way, Jack, we're finding out different than that. We're finding out it can really be destructive from old people's standpoint and others.
And going back to the last letter, Megyn Kelly is a self-described journalist. In fact, she did an interview with Al Sharpton last night where Sharpton said, you're a commentator too. And she says, no, I'm not a commentator. I don't give my opinion. I'm a journalist.
Well, first of all, I think everybody's a journalist who says they're a journalist. I think commentators are journalists. I think reporters are journalists. I think column writers are journalists. And I love it when the community turns on each other, points at each other, and yells, "You're not really a journalist. I'm a journalist, and I get the definition." I know a guy who works for a tabloid.
Okay, hold on. We're going to take a break.
Sure.
And then we'll go back. Roundtable at WAMC.org. Roundtable at WAMC.org. We'll be right back after this break. Good morning. Welcome back to the Roundtable and to our panel discussion this morning. Alan Chartok, Rosemary Armeo, and Ira Fussfeld make up the group this morning, and we welcome your comments. Roundtable at WAMC.org. Roundtable at WAMC.org. All right, so let's go to some of the other stories. I do want to mention the New York Times story this morning about Paul Ryan. I know we've talked about this. Speaker Paul Ryan's categorical disavowal of interest in the presidential race on Tuesday appeared to extinguish a longstanding fantasy of Republican leaders that Mr. Ryan might ride into the convention in Cleveland as a white knight to unite the fractured party and claim its nomination. But if the House Speaker seems determined not to play the role of savior in 2016, the path envisioned for him might still be open to another surprise candidate if neither Donald Trump nor Ted Cruz can secure the nomination after several rounds of balloting at the convention starting on July 18th. Should Mr. Trump or Mr. Cruz remain short of the 1237 delegate majority, some Republicans believe there is at least a theoretical opening for someone else to save the day and offer the party a way out of an endless melee on the convention floor. So the obvious question is, less than a year ago, we were playing this game with Paul Ryan about how he would never, ever, ever be House Speaker.
Right.
I wonder if he regrets that now. He certainly is being paid back for it this season.
Oh, yeah, nobody believes him.
Right, well,
Little boy who cried wolf.
Yeah, why would you say, I won't do it under any circumstances until they come and offer it to you? And say, you got to do this for the sake of the party, which is how he got out of it when he was doing Speaker. So I have no doubt about that. Number two, if a loser, he's come out and said it has to be one of the people who were in the campaign. So if one of those losers gets the nomination, then he's up next after the Democrats win this time.
Meaning in
that's,
4 years.
Yeah, that's another possibility. It doesn't look good for the Republicans, which is probably a good reason to avoid mortal combat here.
And the Times list Condoleezza Rice
yes.
as a potential.
That's right.
Yes.
I do think it's a long shot, but if the balloting is, round five, round six, and they're hopelessly deadlocked, I can't imagine that they would not go back to somebody like Ryan to say, look, you're the only guy who can settle this thing, or we're going to be here all year.
Sure.
Well, there are some other names coming out besides Condoleezza Rice and Paul Ryan.
Mitt Romney
is
same
one,
old,
and I'm hearing Governor Christie too.
Yeah, Governor Christie's back,
he did go through the.
He might cross
campaign
that bridge.
Yeah.
And Jeb Bush also, I believe, but
Jeb says he's not going to the conference, to the convention at all. That could be another Paul Ryan.
Well,
statement.
A lot of people have done that. They get called at the last minute.
Because how cool is that?
Fly in from Chicago or whatever, Texas. There's a lot of historical precedent for that. They
Hop
never
on that
used
next
to come.
Flight to Cleveland, huh? Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, I'm still of the belief, as much as I hate to say so, that Trump is going to get it, even if he does not have the magic number, the unfair number, as he says. It just seems like he is trying to get his image in order. He's brought on a team of professional people now to help run that campaign.
When does that kick in, though? Because
has already.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
What was the first name? And I was not familiar with the name, but I guess political people know it. Has already been on board for about a week, and I believe he's going to be on MSNBC tonight.
Well, he had a couple of people on Face the Nation. His convention manager, Face the Nation over the weekend. But it was, even the Times noted that he sounded like Trump. He was still very thuggish, for want of a better word.
Well, I don't know. It just seems to me, The party is clearly fractured, and I just think that they may finally decide that we're going to have to bite the bullet on this one. What I find interesting is that, he has these thousands and thousands of rabid fans who show up, and then you look at the national polling that shows he is disliked by a wide margin by everybody in every category. And so if the polls are accurate, has zero chance on winning the presidency. And this is what the Republicans are looking at.
Well, the polls, again, I mean, look at the big gaps they showed between Bernie Sanders and Hillary Clinton, and they keep narrowing as the endless headlines tell
us. But
how accurate are they?
Yeah, except that the narrowing there, I could attribute that to Bernie's campaign and the enthusiasm that he's drawing, and that people's minds are being changed.
And sure, you don't do that with Trump, who also has bigger rallies?
In the other direction.
But to go to your point about Bernie, look, this could be an upset, and it all depends, as he says again and again, on turnout. If the kids turn out, he's got 76% of people under a particular age.
Did you see those pictures out of Washington Square Park last night in New York? Well,
they claimed 27,000 people.
That's a lot of people. I mean, that was a...
And he fills every hall he goes to.
I mean, it's pretty incredible.
You want to draw, if a Bernie Sanders type candidate wants to draw people in New York City, where else but Washington Square Park? I mean, that's ground zero for progressives and, counterculture.
Absolutely.
Types. Yeah.
So and that, it was a concert, and there was a lot going on. Yeah. And no, I understand.
I'll tell you, I was telling Alan when I saw him this morning, what troubles me is a poll I saw recently that said if Bernie does not get the nomination, 30% of his supporters say they won't vote for Hillary.
That's incredible.
And if that's anywhere near accurate, I don't know if that would sway the election away from Hillary, but I don't know how anybody who is pro-Bernie, even with the distinction they can make between him and Hillary, how they could not vote for Hillary or run the risk of one of the Republicans getting in. It just startles me.
Well, look, I voted for, as you all know, I voted for Bernie. I announced I was going to do that in Massachusetts, and I did it. Nevertheless, Ira, this is very frightening. The idea that somebody could sit back and think that the luxury is theirs of not voting for Hillary if she's the candidate, and let the Republicans put three or four conservative justices of the Supreme Court there, it's beyond anything I could imagine.
I am fiercely, as you pointed out, supportive of Hillary.
I know you are.
As am I, by the way.
But, and I get a lot of criticism for being anti-Bernie. The fact is, I'm not anti-Bernie. I am anti-Bernie supporters. They're really obnoxious. And this is one point of it. And their letters are obnoxious, and their letters to the editor. And I love fervency and advocacy, but they're like cult-like. I'm getting letters that Hillary is Hitlerite. There was an article in Times Union tag. It certainly other people think that too, and that she's left a trail of death. I'm sorry, even if you do what the U.S. government arrayed against her has not been able to do, blame Benghazi on her. There's no trail of death.
Well,
what is that?
Well,
craziness.
Well, look, as you know, I'm for Bernie, and I voted for him, as I've said many times right here. However, this whole thing befuddles me. I don't get it. And I get occasional, and I'm sure you've all seen that when they come to roundtable, I have gotten occasional letters saying, you're not enough for Bernie. You're not enough for Bernie. What does that mean? You never said a word about being for Bernie. You see those letters, too. I mean, there's a certain anger in some of the people who support
Bernie.
I'm
sorry, it's Trump-like.
But we were, there was a whole bunch of journalists, it was the Kasich rally this week, and there were a whole bunch of journalists there, and they were all talking about the whether it was newspaper, television, or radio, they were all saying the same thing, which is that they were all getting bashed by Bernie Sanders supporters saying that they didn't cover the candidate.
Yeah,
enough.
I mean, it was a talking point early on. It's really, truly never been true, except possibly on satellite TV, and that's long gone. He's been everywhere. It's I don't know.
Ryan answered you. The problem is that many of us who support Bernie, Hillary is virtually the same as the Republicans. I'm extremely liberal, and Hillary is a center-left candidate at best, not to mention that she will say whatever she needs to say to get elected. How can I take her at her word? I still am asking you a question. If we know that the Republicans will put four conservatives or three conservatives on the Supreme Court, which will last forever because they'll do them, you're telling me that you're willing to live with more of the Citizens United and the kinds of things you've been seeing? That's beyond anything I can fathom.
There's a big difference between center-left, if that's how you want to cast her, I don't agree, but if that's how you cast her, there's still a big difference between center-left and anything we're seeing among the Republican candidates.
We heard from Bill who said, I agree with Rosemary that Sanders people are, and this is interesting because I'm sure annoying, but it came out announcing.
Yes, very autocorrect.
Yeah. Autocorrect, yeah, okay. And I'm just Eve says, I am not obnoxious. I'm just a little old lady who volunteers for stuff, etc. I've been a socialist all my life. I'm so happy to be able to vote for what I really like. Of course I'll vote for HRC if she's the nominee, Eve. You know, I think that's the point. A lot of people who are right now really into the struggle are saying things like that. But I don't think when it comes around that they're going to do that.
Well, one-third, according to, and you just
30%,
quoted that.
Yeah.
And again, I mean, to Alan's point, we'll see what happens when the campaign unfolds and we know when
Ted Cruz looms as the president
knows
of
what
the United States.
Up against.
What do you think about Bernie dropping out of the campaign for a couple of days to go to the Vatican to speak?
It's being called a big gamble, but I don't know.
I think it's exactly the right thing to do.
It puts him in the...
Because we all know there's a subliminal, anti-Semitism that exists in some but not all quarters, which is, he's the Jew, as I am. And there is a... You can't do better than going to visit the Vatican. I don't see how you can...
Well, Catholics are not exactly beloved in this country. They have a long history of being persecuted, including by the KKK.
Yeah, that's true.
So...
Well, I think that this is the first acknowledgement, although not outwardly, that he knows what the handwriting is on the wall, and that by going to the Vatican now, although the timing is not great for him, it elevates him even more than the campaign has elevated him as a person of importance on the political scene in this country and now worldwide. That here's Bernie Sanders, this Jew from a small, a Jew socialist from a small state in the Northeast, is being asked to speak by the Pope at a conference about the morals of, it was some moral issue.
Here's the point, you're right. He very much agrees with, the Pope very much agrees with Bernie's positions on a lot of things.
Yeah. So I think that at the end of the day, Bernie doesn't expect to win New York. The polls perhaps showing that he's closing, but it's still not likely, and that he feels he can afford to take that gamble, as you put it, by going off the campaign for a day and a half, planting his flag at the Vatican, and then still come back, and then for his case, hopefully does something big in the debate tonight, and then going into California that will.
You're right. But what the downside, of course, is what? I mean, you know, you go to the Vatican, you're on the national news again and again. What? You're better off talking to 1,000 people in the Bronx? I don't know.
It's all image and psychological that you've left the state that you're. You saw, for example, when Hillary was left, I think it was Wisconsin early, and everybody said, "Well, she's written off Wisconsin."
Gave up.
Yeah,
and a lot of people have said
which
that
is
you're,
true.
You're going all the way over there for a 15-minute speech.
Right. Right.
Well, I'm sorry. If the Vatican calls, wouldn't you go? Wouldn't
absolutely.
You just like say, Alan, I won't be in tomorrow. See ya. Come on.
Yes.
But he wouldn't tell me why he was going. He would just go.
No, but the question. But
I'd love to get that picture of Joe with his arm around the pole.
I liked the Facebook comment. Have you ever interviewed anyone taller than you?
No. I get, but I'm back to what Ira's point is here, which I think is if you do. if you feel the momentum and you feel that you're going to win, or that you have the polls are closing and that you could win the state, are your allies going to be upset if you suddenly leave?
Yeah.
And what the optics are of
right,
that.
And if it's close, yes, I would go to speak to 1,000 people in Poughkeepsie or where you did speak, just because you need to squeeze out every last vote. But if it's not going to be close, I'm better off going to the
ballot. I don't know. I don't know that I agree with your assumption. It's closing, as Rosemary said before. They're down to 10%. He was way behind.
I saw.
10%,
I don't see 10%. I see 12.
Well, they're down for now. But Mo, I'm not trying to be an advocate here, because I'm very interested in whether the pollsters can get this right, whether they have the ability to get it right, whether they can get to the number of cell phones that they need to get to that, you know, people, mm-hmm. young people have. And the fact is, when momentum is with you, which it is in this case, and it goes from 14 to the next one we see is 10, I don't know, this could be an upset.
Well, I think hard to believe after all the debates, but tonight's debate is particularly important. If he doesn't really clobber her in the debate, I don't see it going anywhere in his campaign.
I think Bernie's right about one thing. It is all about turnout. If the kids who have not voted in the past don't come out, he's not going to win. It's that simple.
There's also there is. There is, and correct me if I'm wrong here, but there is no guarantee also that he will actually meet the Pope.
I haven't heard that on the part of the schedule. His wife was on one of the programs yesterday and said it was really be very quick in and out, and she didn't mention a meeting with the Pope.
Yeah, so
I can't believe he's going to go over there and not meet the Pope. Can't believe it.
He doesn't want to get involved in the political process. Remember, he was in the United States and.
And talk to the Republican Congress who invited him to come in with a clear political agenda.
With
Is
Kim
that
Davis.
What you're talking about?
But he said, then he got into trouble for talking to the Kentucky Secretary,
Kim Davis,
right, and said, no, I don't want to get involved. I don't know. I think this is different than the whole Republican Congress, which is an institution he talked to.
Well, I think Bernie's campaign, regardless of whether or not he wins the nomination, must now already be deemed a success. He's generated tremendous support. He has mostly set the agenda of this campaign.
Yep.
He has pulled Hillary more to the left than I think she was intended to go, and that's important.
We have to take a break, but. And if you mention this, I'm sorry, but the other thing too is that on those 2 days that Bernie Sanders will be out and at the Vatican, Hillary will be in California. So it is sort of a pause button in New York for those two, for the Democratic candidates.
It describes that both of them know how New York's going to turn out.
Let's take a break. We'll be back. Go to some letters and finish up for this hour. Alan and Rosemary and Ira and Joe will be back after this. We're back just in time. Rosemary is sputtering. It's perfect for the radio. Welcome back.
Sounds like my 2004 Nissan.
Did it make it up the pike?
Barely.
Yeah, good. Let's go to some letters, Alan.
We had a discussion earlier
yes.
in which I was trying to make the point after Rosemary said that she had issues with some of the Bernie supporters who could be quite mean and off the rails. And I said, you know.
I think I said crazy.
Yeah, well, you did. And then I was off the rails. So I said, you know, here I have. I'm the only one who announced, and nobody else has done this. You know, I'm going to vote for Bernie. This is not an editorial position of the station. Mm-hmm. But I've done it for months. I'm going to vote for him because I think he's right. And put myself out there. In what I consider to be a fairly courageous and maybe stupid way. So then we get a letter from Jim who says, you know, Rosemary is really good at this. You're not so good. You're sort of lukewarm. You're not good enough. Alan, I think you're aware of the imbalance. Unfortunately, it is all too obvious that you are at best a lukewarm sympathizer with Bernie's campaign. Whoa.
When you filled in the circle next to Bernie's name, you used a number one pencil instead of a number two pencil. And you didn't quite.
It's lukewarm.
Yeah, it's lukewarm.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. But do not pretend that you can offer balance to the heavyweight and cleverly crafted assertions and insinuations of the other panelists.
They just come right off the top of my head. They're not. None of that. There's, well, we don't. I don't have a script here. It's just. That's just.
Well, I think that's again, it's painfully the craziness. Obvious for beg, all of us.
I beg you, and I do
was
not.
Was that a shot?
What?
No, I beg you, and I do not want to hate WAMC. Give me a break. Just give me a break.
I was telling Alan the other night I was here for a meeting, and I was right before the panel, and I don't remember what day. Well, it was the day after all the candidates were here, so yeah, that would have been Monday, would have been Tuesday morning. And the news came on right before the panel, and the lead story about the candidates coming to town was about Bernie. And I'm thinking to myself, gee, why are they leading with Bernie? Because Trump was here, first of all, most recently, he was here just the night before, and he drew more people. But, you know, I don't even have an answer as to why that was the decision. But again, WAMC led the newscast with Bernie. What more do you want?
They want a lot more. And I'm, okay, I know that I'm supposed to have a thick skin, but I'm offended by this. I am.
It doesn't pay to be offended by
don't
it.
Be. It's only no. A Bernie supporter saying it.
Oh, jeez.
Well, I, you know, we're more Joe's youngest of the group. The three of us will
he's
remember.
He's younger than I am.
I mean, this is in many ways not right. 1968 all
back
over
in the
again.
Past, yeah.
The students at the college I went to in New Paltz, it was a Gene McCarthy, you know, and it was a wave of enthusiasm, and we were all young, and we were all immature, and we were all naive. Now that's not a put down on today's young students, but the fact is, there's a perspective that you have at that age that perhaps you won't have in 10 or 15 or 20 years.
Which is why so many people are for, young people are for Bernie.
Yes.
Because they have a sense that he's what they need.
Well, because he's Bernie's primary message, and again, I'm not denouncing the message. You know, all college should be free. Well, I'm sitting in college today with a loan that's outstanding and you know, barely can afford my sub sandwich in town. That sounds pretty damn
well,
good to me.
But that's fair. I mean, I think it's fair for somebody to say, look, we send our kids to high school and to elementary school, but we don't send them to college. And that this is something that this country, you know, if we're preaching equality of opportunity, this is what we ought to be doing.
Couldn't agree with you more. Yeah. But the point is that it's that sort of narrow track that is propelling Bernie. And that's where I think when I say I believe Hillary is the best qualified and most experienced and well-rounded candidate, I don't know that I would say, as she has, that Bernie is a one-issue candidate, but clearly she is better versed on world affairs than he is and has a much more rounded knowledge of the job, and she will step in on day one and hit the ground running.
No matter what the politics are, though, shouldn't we celebrate the fact that young people
yes,
are getting involved
absolutely.
In the political process and that they are coming out in record numbers to the
right.
rallies, and then to figure out whoever the candidate is, the nominated candidate for president of the United States, is able to work with that constituency and make them involved in the fall campaign.
Are they record numbers? How does it compare with 68? I thought it was about
the same.
Well, I don't know about record numbers, but at least in comparison to the last several years.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
sure. And 76%? That's huge. It says we got a letter from S, who says, I disagree with the last letter. Alan, you're a firebrand. Tone it down. I never know whose tongue is in which cheek.
Watch out for the Zika virus.
Right. John says, I was the delegate for McGovern 72. He carried mass in the district. O-M-I-G.
Oh my God.
Okay, Columbia.
O-M-I-G?
This IG, I don't know.
I don't know.
Columbia, I'm older now. The reformer in me is drawn to Bernie, but the adult in me will be voting for Hillary Clinton. Fair enough.
I agree with that.
I just want to repeat something that Alan said earlier. Before you send it, just check it over. Just read it real quick. I know it's on the fly, but just look it over, because sometimes we don't know what the
listen,
hell you're saying.
As a former newspaper publisher and editor, when we went to computers, there was a lot of that pushing of the button before they read the story all the way through.
Yes.
Our wonderful Barbara Smith, regular panelist here, says, I just want to remind you that you may know at least one not so obnoxious Bernie supporter, your fellow panelist, me.
Yes, she is. And so for someone to write in and say there is no passionate, articulate spokesman for Bernie, they're not a regular listener of the show, because Barbara is certainly that.
Absolutely. And she will be with us tomorrow, we should note.
Excellent.
Ira, great to have you back.
Good to see you.
Nice. Hope to see you soon. And Rosemary, we'll see you tomorrow. Thank you very much. Alan, thank you very much. We are out of time, but we'll be back tomorrow for more Roundtable Panel. We welcome your letters as always, roundtable@wamc.org.